Hello and welcome to Social Drip, a podcast about touring musicians and specialty coffee. I'm AJ and my caffeinated co-host is Trevor. Every episode, we'll send a bag of specialty coffee to a musical guest so we can discuss brewing methods, flavor profiles, and tell coffee stories from the road.
So for this week, we have our good friend Danielle Dirac from Phoenix, Arizona. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Danielle is an amazing songwriter, probably my favorite locally, maybe not locally also. So we're excited to have you here. I brought the coffee this time, and I went to this place called Cream Coffee because they always have different roasters every week. So I was like, cool, I'll find something. And they only had one bag of coffee left. And it was this bag called Sun Bear, and it was their cold brew blend. But I figured because the name was kind of fun that, like, why not go for it? So that's about all I know about the coffee, that it's supposed to be for cold brew. It's a blend of African and Central American.
Central America and Africa are two pretty big regions.
I know. That's what I was like. And it was like, I mean, they always have quality coffee there. So usually the bag will have a lot more info, but didn't have that many specs on the bag. I know I wrote down some for you.
The flavor notes here are citrus, milk chocolate, and floral. And we should say the company is called Kuma Coffee, K-U-M-A.
Kuma, yes. Mm-hmm. Danielle, how did you brew your coffee?
So I actually went out this morning and bought a Chemex. So
I love that.
Yeah. Before the Chemex, I had a Mr. Coffee pot.
That would have been acceptable too.
Yeah. But I figured it was time. I've always wanted a Chemex, and this was like the perfect excuse to go buy one.
That's why Chuck got an AeroPress too.
Yeah. So. Really, you're just helping the community.
Because they said it was a cold brew blend, I actually made cold brew out of it. And it's been just steeping for 12 hours overnight when I decided I was going to make cold brew. And then I did a separate one with my V60 just in case the cold brew didn't turn out well.
Thank you for making the effort to make coffee 12 hours ago for this podcast.
For real.
It gives me something to do. I'm excited.
I feel like I've been so busy in this weird quarantine time somehow. I'm more busy, but
I feel that, yeah.
Let's take a sip.
Cheers.
What are you tasting there, Trevor?
I really like it. We've been really spoiled on this show, so we've definitely had some better coffees in my opinion, but it's definitely just a really smooth coffee tasting coffee. It has a sweet amount of acidity and it's not too much, and definitely a very forward kind of dark chocolate note to me.
Yeah, I get all those. And I do think this is just like a really good, like a coffee, like you said. What do you think, Danielle?
Yeah, definitely getting that chocolate note that y'all are talking about. And yeah, no, it's super solid. It's a good, workhorse coffee.
Exactly. That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Are you an everyday coffee drinker?
Oh, yeah.
Do you usually go out for coffee or brew it at home?
I typically go out. I've gotten into the habit since quarantine, like most places are closed by like 8 p.m. and I've been like making pots of coffee for myself.
You make coffee at 8 p.m.?
Yeah. Again, it's been a bad habit, but this quarantine.
When you said we could do it at 9 p.m., I was like, I can't.
You're like, actually, no. It's not going to work for me.
I would have been down personally. I love nighttime coffee.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can like probably fall asleep with one just like in my arms, frankly. Just like after consuming a lot of coffee. It's more comforting.
Why don't you give us just like a quick background on like how you grew up and how you found both music and coffee?
I think the first cup of coffee I had was probably 8 years old roughly, and like my grandma would come over and she would fill up my little mug with mostly creamer and like a splash of coffee, and I'd sit there and have coffee with my grandma when she would babysit us when we were little. That was my introduction to coffee, and I really haven't stopped drinking it since then.
That's a wholesome story though.
Yeah, no, it's one of my Yeah, she's no longer with us, so I always, like, kind of think of her when I'm just sitting by myself drinking, especially at home, you know. Less so when I'm just getting my bougie lattes at these, you know, fancy little shops, but, you know, at home. So yeah, that's the origin story. And then I worked in coffee in college. I worked at Royal Coffee. And it was a great time. Lots of cool people worked there, and worked there my freshman year of college. So that was my first little taste of freedom in the world. And yeah, that was good. And with music, it's kind of roughly the same time frame, probably like 9 or 10 is when I like wrote my first little shitty song, and never stopped writing, and picked up guitar and piano in high school, and so it's just kind of been the dream, so I'm still trying to make it work.
That's awesome, and you're killing it.
Thanks, dude.
So, I think the first time I met you was possibly at Songbird, where I was working.
That makes sense.
Because you used to play there. Yeah, you used to play there all the time, and you were so good.
Oh,
and then
your
record came out, and now you're on the road and all that stuff. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Like, this is like your first, like, well, I guess it's been out a little bit now because you already have another one coming, huh?
Right,
but,
yeah. You've
done a lot of cool stuff on the record.
Yeah, it's been like really cool. It all feels like a fluke. There's like a weird glitch in the matrix. But that's weird. That's funny that you say that, because my first show ever was at Songbird. So wow. Yeah.
I wonder if I was working.
Yeah. I feel like you might have been.
I'm actually a fan since day one, though.
For real? Wow.
So that means that either Songbird has been around for a while, or you started playing shows like relatively recently.
Yeah. I played my first like show in college. So that was like 6 years ago.
I never played till I was in my 20s either. So I can relate.
I like still kind of like battle with like stage fright and stuff. So in high school, I don't know. It was like this I had this like weird embarrassment about it. I felt like it was like a really silly adolescent dream to have. Like, yeah, I just like want to be a rock star or whatever. And like, it took me a really long time to just like be able to like confidently say like, yeah, I'm a musician, you know, like just like accept that. Like,
maybe your first tour you did with Sydney, it was just a fuck it, let's do it ourselves tour or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. And that's even more impressive knowing that your first gig was not that long ago. So
yeah.
How were the first couple tours on the record?
They were just like a mixed bag of the weirdest shows I've ever played. but like, I wouldn't have wanted anything else. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was, I think our first show of our first little tour, me and Sydney, was at like a, what are they called? It was at a country club. It was at like a weird little like community room in a country club, and we played for people like that were roughly like 3 times our age, and it was super weird, but it was like cool. We played lots of house shows that were really awesome. I feel like that's like a great way to really like connect with people.
It's the most fun and, for sure.
Yeah. We've done like the brewery thing, where you play to a room full of people who like kind of don't want you there.
Heads turned the other way.
Right. They're just like, you're being really loud. Actually trying to watch the football game that's being displayed over your head. So not really the vibe. But yeah, they went really well. And it was like such a fun, it just felt like a vacation. Like, I don't know. Like, I got to do the thing that I love to do and travel.
That's how I look at it too. It's just like, you don't have to go to work for like a month or however, and all you have to do is play music. It's the best job ever, where you don't make any money.
Right.
But
right. Exactly.
It's fine.
That's why you have to look at it as a vacation, or you'll get very sad very fast.
Yeah, I feel like every time we're about to leave on tour, things in my normal life are going like they're getting kind of tiresome. And I'm like, at the point that we're going on tour, I'm always just like, yes, get me the hell out of here. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Just need a break.
Do you have any favorite coffee shops that you discovered on tour?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. We definitely, like, hit... It was my mission to, like, find, you know, the bougie little new wave coffee shops There was one, I'm trying to remember, because we hit a lot. Like, every city there was one, so it's hard for me to, like... I really love the one in San Diego, the, like, I think it's just, the and, it's just, like...
Oh, Coffee and Tea Collective. It's just an ampersand?
Yeah.
That was the first coffee shop I took Trevor to in San Diego.
I also really liked Verve. That was, like, a favorite when I lived in L.A. I would always walk to the one downtown.
Did you ever go to one of my favorite coffee shops in downtown L.A. is in Little Tokyo? It's Cafe Dolce.
Oh, I don't think I went to that one.
They're awesome. They serve Verve as well. And then there's Demi Tasse that's, like, right across the street from that.
You guys are making me miss, like, traveling. I, like, forgot. Like, it's like, oh, I should do that the next time I go to L.A., whenever the fuck that is. Like,
yeah, right?
That's why we're doing this, so we can, like, vicariously, like, remember all the places that right. we used to go.
For real. Yeah.
We gotta get back on the road, guys. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
God, I know. Well, since we're stuck at home, those were some of your favorite shops from other places. What about locally? Where do you like to go?
I really love Cartel. I, like, lived at Cartel, basically, when I was in college at ASU. That was where I parked. Don't tell anybody. And yeah, I would hang out there. So I was there a lot. Royal was also a favorite. I just moved recently to kind of like Arcadia, Phoenix area. And there's a shop called Provision, like a couple blocks from where I live. So I'm there like almost daily. And I really like their lattes. They're good.
That's my current favorite shop. Not only because of the coffee, but the shop is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, the machine is really cool and like the colors and...
Totally, the aesthetic is like on point.
It's classy. It's like clean and sterile, but still a little inviting.
So, what is your go to drink when you go to a new shop and you're like, I'm gonna check them out and see what they're about? How do you measure that?
Oh gosh, I don't. I usually just go for my oat milk iced latte. I don't know if that's like a good barometer of like how they are, but it's just like it's what I want, you know.
That's good. That's good to know.
How about you guys?
I always view the iced latte is a safe drink if I'm not sure how good the coffee is going to be. Because I like iced oat milk lattes too. But if I can tell it's a really good shop, I'll get a pour over espresso or something.
Nice.
Depending on how mean the baristas are.
Right.
Oh, I seek out mean baristas. Like, that's how I can tell if the coffee is going to be good. Because I'm like, oh, these guys are being jerks right now. Like, this is going to be awesome.
It better be, you know.
Yeah. I always get just black coffee, black espresso, or cold brew if it's really hot. And by the way, I'm drinking some of the cold brew I made, and it's like, it must be so hot in Phoenix right now because it's like 90 degrees here and we're all complaining. Like, so this is like very, very refreshing right now. I see why this is their cold brew blend, because it's like we said, as we made it hot, it was just very like... This is a good bag of coffee that I have no complaints about whatsoever that I'm enjoying.
Right.
But as cold brew, it's like, that's the perfect thing to make cold brew out of because all those things translate. And I feel like certain flavors get louder when it becomes cold brew. You know, it becomes less complex, but it's like, oh, damn, there's milk chocolate in this.
I wish I would have made it cold. That sounds so good.
There's still time.
Yeah, okay, you're right. I've got some coffee left over.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you tour a lot with Sydney, who's our dear friend. And what is it like trying to get coffee in the morning? Like, you guys said that you actively seek it out. Like, every day you get up and you're like, we got to go get coffee. Has there ever been, like, Sydney wanted to go to one shop and you wanted to go to another or, like, anything like that?
If anything, like, I probably annoyed the shit out of her. Like, there were times where it was just, like, we would need coffee and she would be... down for anything, and I would be really insistent, like, no, we gotta find, like, you know, like, one of those shops. Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, well, we're not gonna hit, like, a major city for another, like, 4 hours, so, like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. Like, we'll just stop at Circle K. I don't know. But I'm also, like, I don't know. Circle K coffee still does it for me. It's obviously a very different experience.
My favorite mysterious, like, gas station coffee thing is it's among the little packets of creamer that people can put in their drinks, but it's just like more caffeine. It's not a dairy product. Have you seen this at all? It's just like, I can't remember for the life of me what they're called, but it's just like an extra little like highly concentrated, like
an extra shot.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's
That's crazy.
So I always get those, like when we got on the really long drives, and you can't get those at specialty coffee shops, whatever that is. So
that's so funny. I've never noticed you do that.
I'm not proud of it. This is actually the first time I'm like
admitting it
to the world. So I probably like took the coffee in the back to do it, and you didn't see me.
So. I will pick Dunkin' over Starbucks or anything. All day. Just Dunkin' iced coffee. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I lived on the East Coast for a little bit, and it's like kind of like it's a very much a staple over there. So it's so different than here, where it's just like. Every Dunkin' is busy every morning.
Yeah, I would agree that they're better than Starbucks. I feel like Starbucks has more, like, food items or more... They make me feel better about myself as a person than, like...
Instead of a bunch of donuts.
Like a Taco Bell. Right? It's like they've got their little protein box or, like, a PB&J or a green juice. I don't know.
This coffee is tasting a lot better for me as it's getting a little cooler. Not that it didn't taste good before, but I'm tasting more fruitiness.
Yeah, totally. And I'm just curious what a sun bear is.
I know.
I mean, there is actually an animal called a sun bear. I've seen them at the zoo. So, I mean, I guess I just answered my own question. I'm an idiot. but so now that we know what animal this coffee would be if it were an animal, it's time to ask my favorite question of Danielle. If this coffee was a band, who would it be?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
What vibe does it give you? What does it make you want to listen to? You can also say, like, this coffee reminds me of a Telecaster or, like, a Martin tuned to open A.
Oh, gosh. That would require me knowing literally anything about gears, which I don't.
I'm right there with you.
I'm so surprised that you don't, because, like... From watching you play and stuff like that, I'm like, you know, you would never know that you aren't just like a gear nerd. Or like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, geez. Big disagree, but thank you so much.
I'm thinking like something that is good hot, but also good cold. So it's something that, you know, maybe has some like emotionally angry, fiery parts, but also some smooth, cold, kind of comforting notes. And like my brain just went here because like I thought of cold brew and I knew this question was coming up, and I just thought of The Room's Too Cold, the early November album.
There you go. Cool.
So that's where my brain went. But I guess it kind of makes sense because they're a pretty emotional band, but they're also kind of sweet and soft a lot of the time.
Yeah. Totally. There's an early November for every occasion, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you go into side projects too. But
oh yeah.
Shit, that's true.
I was thinking, like, because I didn't even get to see, like, what this bag, like, what the art on the bag looked like or anything like that. All I have is this little card that says, Kuma Coffee Sun Bear. I'm imagining that the art is, like, a bear, but he's, like, engulfed in flames. And this is just what I'm imagining. And that makes me think of the album cover for this band called Sundials that I really like. So, and I believe the album's called When I Couldn't Breathe. So that is what I'm going to say this coffee is. Based on absolutely nothing, but I love that band. Sundials is amazing.
I remember that band.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like Say Anything popped into my head first. I don't know if that's this coffee, but like it feels right, you know? I feel like if this coffee were like a person, it'd be angsty and weird, you know?
Yeah, it's got a little angst to it. It can be brewed different ways.
But I feel like it could also just be like a Neil Young. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's like radically different sides of the spectrum.
Literally any answer is a good answer.
This is like looking at a dog that you don't know and guessing what its name is. And you're like, I don't know, but it just feels like a Charles to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Okay.
We can't tour right now. We don't know what's going on. But... do you have anything coming up that you want to talk about? I know you do have new music. I don't know how much you can talk to us about it.
Masters just got done yesterday, so it's like, done! And I'm very excited about it, but like I have so much work to do now and like figure out a whole, you know, scheme or whatever. But hopefully, hopefully like July or August will be the first single.
Cool.
Why don't you tell us like what this album is about and like what, yeah, give us a feel for what we're gonna hear.
It's a breakup album. Thematically, like front to back, it's a, it is a lamentation of my own grief about, you know, losing someone really important to me.
Right.
But like in sonically, like it kind of like covers a lot of ground, and it feels like I'm taking risks, and it's honestly like really scary. There's like a couple different sounds. There's gonna be stuff that's very like similar sonically to like Bashful, like that's, you know, familiar, but also, you know, different things, and that's scary. And I always like, I think about my favorite artists, and it's always like you kind of want them to like, you want them to grow, right? But like, you ever like have your favorite band put out a record that totally just like, you're like, what? This is not what I wanted, you know?
Totally.
Like it's too different from their normal yeah. stuff. Okay, yeah.
Right. Or like going for a sound that maybe like they just don't do as well as their sound, I guess. Or sure. like, I don't know. And I feel like there's bands that have done that really well also. So I don't know. It's just like, I think it's just a matter of me like getting out of my head and just like standing behind whatever it is and like putting it out, and just who gives a shit if people fuck with it or not. It's what I made, you know?
That's a great attitude. I used to play as a solo artist for like so long, and like I just felt like I never like really got into the groove of like, this is what I do, you know? And that's why right. I like to play in a bunch of different bands now, because I you yeah. know, I feel like I can get my stamp on stuff out better than I can performing as a solo artist now. I don't
totally.
Know why. So I'm envious of you doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, and I think that there's like some freedom in like being in different projects. It's like it kind of takes your own ego out of it, and you're less like you're not forced to define yourself because you're part of this larger thing. And it's like, I think when it's like trying to bite your own teeth, like you can't like,
yeah,
I don't know, you can't put people in boxes. And like the more you try, I feel like the more you try and put yourself in a box, like the less the actual like parts of your personality that make you, they just kind of get like smashed. I don't know.
Did you play in a band before you played as a solo artist, or?
No, I've never played in a band. I've always wanted to, like, especially when I was like younger and in high school and stuff, like just like wanted to meet like a group of people who, yeah, who I can make like sick music with. But I think like the fear and like the vulnerability and also just like massive control issues
yes,
have
totally.
Held me back.
Trevor knows about my control issues.
Right. You can find me on all the things wherever you listen to music. I should be there.
Or someone's in trouble.
Yeah.
DistroKid's gonna get a email.
That did sound very ominous. But yeah, follow me on Spotify, Instagram, all the things. Should start rolling out some new stuff soon. So yeah, if you follow me on Spotify, you'll be the first to know about it.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you so much. That's a great episode. I'm glad we got to do it.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you guys.
But it's so easy.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Social Drip. If you'd like to sponsor an episode and send us coffee from your local shop, you can contact us at socialdrippodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @socialdrippodcast, where we announce new guests, new coffees, and post preview clips of upcoming episodes. Thanks again.
It's to everyone's benefit that I am caffeinated, I promise.